We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. All right, let's check out this temperatures on this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. 87 at Beaver, 84 at the May Ranch, 86 at Medford, 90 at Putnam, 91 here in Elk City, 91 at Cheyenne, 98 at Hollis, but the hot spot in the state right now, Granville, 103. Let's see how hot it is out here in the Texas Panhandle. Update it. I think that's what it looked like. There we go. Yeah. Good. 106. Canadian, 91. And Dozer's 98. And Odell, you're at 102. Clear down there. Headed towards Decatur. Wichita Falls is 104. It's going to be a warm one, man. Guys, I'm not seeing maybe not next week, but the following week, some rain chances. I know Monday the temperatures are supposed to go back down in the double digits. It will still be in the 90s. So, anyway, let's keep our fingers crossed for some rain in the forecast. I got a really good show in store for you today. Blake Miller is going to come on here beginning the second segment. He got the highest honor bestowed upon an FFA member. He's American, got the American FFA degree. So anyway, he'll be on here. And then Mr. Brent Metter's going to come on here just shortly, later on, or actually later on in the show, not shortly, but later on in the show to talk about the meeting, annual meeting. North Fork Electric annual meeting coming up here pretty quick. First, let's see what's happening in our ag world that did happen actually overnight. December corn is currently down 3 cents overnight. November soybeans are up 3. Chicago Board of Trade wheat is down 6 cents. Kansas City wheat is down 2 cents. Minneapolis wheat is currently flat. And that was overnight. Traders are expressing some concern about yields in areas that missed rains last week and are now going to see a few days of above average temperatures. With the tight U.S. balance sheet this year in soybeans, every bushel counts. Bob Lineman, commodities broker, said also there's concern about China's economy. Recent Chinese economic reports are raising concerns that even China can't avoid the impact of inflation. Some analysts suggest other indicators within the Chinese economy are also pointing to rough roads ahead. If the Chinese economy slows, then they will likely be more cautious buying grain. American ethanol production reached a 3-week high last week, according to the data from the Energy Information Administration. Production of the biofuel rose to average of 1.069 million barrels a day last week. That's up from 1.023 million a day the previous week. In the Midwest, by far the biggest producing region, production was up to 1.012 million barrels a day, and that's up from 965,000 the week before. So anyway, it looks like overall, the East Coast and the Rocky Mountain and the West Coast are all about the same. East Coast, 12,000 barrels a day. Gulf Coast, 24,000. Rocky Mountains, 13,000. And the West Coast at 9,000. Inventories, meanwhile, increased at 23.435 million barrels in the week ending August 11th. Weather in our Farm Belt, it's just all over the place. Besides the heat right here that's built over parts of Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, and the new drought monitor maps out, and it's changed a little bit. I'll go over that with you later on the show. According to the National Weather Service, rain is expected in the Midwest today. A hazardous weather outlook is in place for many areas, warning of thunderstorms. Ohio faces one of the highest chances of rain. In South Central Ohio, the National Weather Service is warning of fog. And fog is being observed across a lot of states in the Midwest. And we're observing the heat advisory that we have here in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. And an ozone alert is out for Oklahoma City and Tulsa today. So be careful out there. And probably going to be, I issued it this morning on the Exploring Energy show, but there's probably an ozone alert right there at the Calumet exit on I-40 where everybody's stopped up in that traffic jams out there. So anyway, we got that going on. All right. The Oklahoma Farm Bureau is one of Oklahoma's largest general farm organizations with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus. Our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, abundant food in the world. You can easily join Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by our office in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org. 580-497-2579 for your Roger Mills Farm Bureau. Well, let's take a break. When we come back, I'm going to have Mr. Blake Miller on the show with me, and we'll talk about his newly award degree in a farmer's degree that he got. Pretty cool story coming up. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know, you know, what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website. WallEquip.com. WallEquip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
SCI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SCI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
We're living in just such a world of automated. You call somewhere and you've got to go through how many buttons and numbers to get to someone that maybe might know what you're talking about. First National Bank, you call one phone number, you get to speak to me. The ease and convenience, I think, for the customer, and then just the confidence that they leave knowing they've built a relationship with their banker, the staff as well, that they can call on for help. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC. When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back from that Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. I picked Odell out here in Texas for an update. It's 103, heat index is 103, humidity's 23, dew point's 58. The wind is out of the west at 5 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 19. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. They've only had 3/10 of rain this month so far. So 89 degrees, and they are, you're under a, this 8-inch soil temperature, and you're under a heat advisory down there in the North Texas part, right there south of Red River. Okay, well, on this phone with me right now is Blake Miller. And big congratulations to you, sir, for earning the America FFA degree. How about that?
No, well, thank you, Jimmy. Say, no, it's been a ride. Say, I spent 4 years in our ag program, and it's I'm really glad I got to get our American degree.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. It's pretty rare. I mean, it's not rare, but you know, there's only 190 Oklahoma FFA members who have achieved that level this year. And out of how many FFA members are they in Oklahoma? I wonder. I knew that number once. I can't remember what it is.
Say, I can't remember what it
There's
was.
There's probably 190 right here in Elk City. So
probably got a big chapter.
Yeah, got a really big chapter this year. So tell everybody who you are, who your parents are, and where you went to school at.
Say, my name is Blake Miller. My parents are Will and Heather Miller. I graduated from Elk City High School in 2022.
And so take us through the process of getting these degrees. Because what is there? There's a chapter degree, there's a state degree, and then there's this one. This is the big one. So take us through the process of how this all come about.
So you'll start with your chapter degree, which is awarded by your chapter. And then for your state degree, the requirements met. You have to have so many community service hours. You have to turn in a scrapbook. And then you have to have 3 letters of recommendation, and then so much money made and so much money spent for your state degree.
Okay.
And then for your American degree, they just do, you need more community service, and then money made, money spent, and you have to have so many hours in your ag program. And then I think that was about all. There might be more I'm missing.
Well, there's a lot there. Tell us about your community service. What did you do, whether it was for the state degree or for the American degree? Tell us what all you did.
So a big part of our community service is flags. You do run flags, you put them out, 4th of July, Flag Day, that sort of thing. The other thing would be Christmas baskets. You go to the Catholic Church, you put together Christmas baskets for the community, and then you can sort of piece other things here and there, because for your American, they require you to have 3 different activities. So I put, one of mine was Carter First Baptist has their annual frog gigging tournament, and we go hunt frogs and clean and feed the community. So that was one of my 3. And then, you know, you'll go clean up yards around the community or mow lawns or, you know, pick and choose how you want to spread out your community service hours.
Well, you were pretty busy then, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, what was in FFA, what was one of your favorite things to do in FFA? I hear you're a pretty good welder.
Yeah, I did go to welding school. I went to a few competitions, but probably the livestock show, and I was big into the livestock show.
Yeah. I see your dad, mom, grandpa, and grandma at the county fairs all the time. They're, well, actually, Did you guys go to the Cattlemen's Congress last year? Did I see you guys up there?
We haven't had a chance to go to Cattlemen's Congress yet. I'd like to go.
What's holding you back?
Well, I think between the three sisters who show now, they're all in sports and the schedules don't line up too great. Dad's gone North Dakota for his hitches, so we got to kind of line it all up. I hope it lines up this year.
Oh, are you going to help your sisters out at the county show this year?
Yes, I hope to be there for the rest of their shows.
Oh, well, that's good. Because they're just showing heifers this year?
Yes, sir. We just have heifers this year.
What kind of heifers you guys got this year? I know they're probably black.
Well, no, I actually think we got a red one this time.
Oh, really? Caught me off guard.
I think we have a red purebred semi, a black percentage semi, and another purebred semi, I do believe.
All right. Well, tell us about what's probably your best memory in FFA. You was in there 4 years. There's got to be something that sticks out.
Well, probably it has to be when I went, the first time I went to our national convention, I was a freshman. Me and Saxon Poole, our previous FFA president.
Right.
We went up there, and, I mean, it was one good time. So I actually got to be on TV for that one. I've got a clip. They panned the news camera, and it says Elk City, Oklahoma on the back of our FFA jackets. You got to see the back of my head.
Didn't get to see the front?
Nope, just the back.
So you get to go back. You get to go back this coming fall, don't you?
Yes, so this will be my third time back.
Wow. You're probably known as a local up there.
Maybe.
So you get to go up there and get your award, and that'll be at the national convention this fall?
Yes, sir.
Are you looking forward to that?
I am. I'm very excited to get to walk up on stage. I was excited to get my state degree in Tulsa, so it's going to be a lot bigger at their stadium there.
What do you got to say to kids out there that are, because FFA, it seems like when Jill was in here the week before last, we were talking about it during break, and the FFA chapters and the amount of kids that are in the chapters, young adults that are in the chapters, seems to be growing more and more.
Yes, sir. So it's getting bigger and bigger every year. We see more kids come through the Ag building every year.
So are you, if you see somebody out there, you're going to recommend they join the FFA and tell people why you would tell them to join?
Yes, sir. Say, I'd highly recommend it to anybody, even if you're not out there showing cattle, showing pigs. I mean, if you just got an interest, say, it'll grow your leadership skills exponentially throughout the years you'll be in it. It'll teach you all sorts of things. You know, a lot of people think, well, it's just for the kids who drag heifers around and walk pigs around a show ring, but it's really for everybody. So if you've got an interest in business, you know, Ag's got Ag Business, Ag Communication, Horticulture. If you like dealing with flowers, Miss D can hook you up. I mean, there's lots of different pathways you can take with Ag. Say, I went to welding school, and I went to welding competitions. It was a big thing for me there, too, so. I mean, you can find just about any avenue you want to take in an ag class.
Do you think you would have went to welding school if you hadn't been in ag?
No, honestly, I wouldn't have, because I probably wouldn't have touched a welder if it wasn't for my ag teacher.
Can your dad weld?
You know, I don't know. I haven't got to see that yet. I'd like to see it.
Well, I think it's time for a father-son afternoon in the welding shop.
It might be.
First of all, you need to teach a couple of your sisters how to weld, and then that way, and quietly, don't tell anybody about it, but quietly, and then say, Dad, I bet she can out weld you her first time striking an arc. Just get after it and see what happens.
I might do that.
Because I've seen your dad in training before. Sometimes he doesn't listen. So anyway, I've had some good times on locations with your dad out fracking. You're lucky. Your mom and dad's some really good folks, including your grandparents. And Man, I can't say enough to say how happy I am for you getting the American degree, and wish you the best and good luck with your welding, and just make sure you get on TV up there this year and send us a picture. Hey, can we get the front side too?
Yeah, I'll ask for the front side this time too.
Well, again, big congratulations to you. And like I said, wish the best for you. And we'll probably see you over at the County Stock Show.
All right. I'll see you there, Jimmy.
All right. I'll let you get back to work. And thanks again. And congratulations again to Blake Miller, who earned the highest honor the FFA gives out, the American Farmer Degree. Congratulations again.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya. All right. Let's take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When we come back, we've got more ag news to do.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hypro. For Hypro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I picked the May Ranch of northern Oklahoma for your northwestern Oklahoma weather forecast right there on the Kansas-Oklahoma line. 85 degrees, feels like 88. Dew point 67, humidity's 54. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. The winds are out of the east, northeast at 15 miles an hour. And we have 8:27 will be your sunset. Then we got mostly sunny today and 91, tomorrow 94, Saturday 103, Sunday 101, and Monday it cools off 3 whole degrees to 98 degrees. Well, in the studio with me right now is Mr. Brett Metter. He's the big cheese out here at the North Fork Electric Co-op, and this is your favorite weekend of the year, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's always a good time. We look forward to it.
All right. Tell us what all is going on.
Well, our 84th annual membership meeting is Saturday in the Sarah Park, as always, and we're looking forward to a great day. It's going to be a hot day. I think the high is supposed to be 105 degrees, but we hope that all of our members come out and join us. It'll be a fun time. We've got a lot of good giveaways. Registration starts at 9 o'clock. We are going to do the drive-through registration that we've been doing since COVID.
Right.
And so we're not doing it because of COVID anymore, but right. we like how it works. We're able to get people registered a little quicker that way. We will have walk-up registration available also. Probably have 5 or 6 people available for walk-up registration. So registration, you should have got your cards in the mail. You need to bring your member card with you and your ID. And we'll get you registered between 9 and 10 and plan on starting the business meeting right around 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, there's some pretty nice prizes from what I've seen.
There is some
cash
great.
And a big mower and
yes.
I see big 70-inch TV.
Yes, yes, we have some good prizes. There's a lot of big prizes. We have great vendors. You know, they just keep surprising us every year. But Western Equipment's really stepped up and sponsored with us on the grand prize this year, and so we're appreciative of them. We're giving away a John Deere Z545R, which is a 54-inch zero-turn mower. It's a very, very nice mower. And so some lucky member is going to take that home and upgrade their mower situation and be excited. And then R&R, Bobby Martin. Bobby is our contractor. We use Bobby year-round, one of his crews year-round. And they're good to chip in and help us out. And so he's given $1,000 cash as a runner-up prize. And then we've got 2 Makita electric mowers, push mowers.
I know.
So you'd be impressed. These I tried one out. They're impressive.
Oh, really?
They're very impressive. They are. I was shocked how good
they
mow.
I take back what I said this morning on the Explore Energy show.
I was shocked. I really think they're good. But anyway, we got 2 of those to give away. 70-inch smart TV. Culver Electric has donated a Generac generator. Kotz Electric has donated bill credits or cash, like maybe to the tune of like 4 or 5 or 6 different ones. So quite a little bit of money.
Right.
Blackstone Griddle, I think from Great Plains Bank.
Great Plains Bank donated us
a Blackstone Griddle, which is awesome. The list just goes on and on. So, I mean, we've got a lot of prizes, and so we'll have a good time. And Blue Mountain Smoke is preparing our lunch for us, and we hope to be serving lunch hopefully by 11 o'clock. Darren, as you know, does a great job
right.
with Blue Mountain Smoke. And so we're serving a pulled pork, baked beans, bag of chips, piece of bread. We'll have plenty of water. We're going to have a cooling trailer there if you happen to get too hot. We've got it set up to where you can register in your vehicle, you can go park in your vehicle, leave the air conditioner running. We're going to have a tuner set up to where you can tune your radio and hear what's going on the microphone system. So you could roll your windows down, hear the music that's being played. Mm-hmm. Never leave your vehicle, basically. We can arrange to bring lunch to you in your vehicle. So we're trying to accomplish people that want to be involved, that they don't have to get out in the heat and can still right. be involved with us. So.
Yeah, and, you know, there's plenty of, especially if there's a little bit of a breeze, there's plenty of shade there at the Sarah Park. I mean, that's a gorgeous park there.
That's right. Yeah. We'll be under the pavilion, chairs under the pavilion. We've got 2 20 by 40 tents coming that'll provide shade. We've got good shade trees. We're going to serve lunch under a 20 by 20 tent. So we changed lunch up, as you know, the last several years because of COVID. We've been serving out of a trailer and a to-go container. And so we're going back to the old style. We're going to serve lunch under the tent in a line or in a couple different lines. And the Red Knights are helping us out. They're volunteering and helping
they're
us out.
You know.
And they do an awesome job. They do an
everywhere
awesome job.
Everywhere you go, they do the KCO open out here.
Yes.
And they're there. And where else do I see them again? This not too far long after the KCO. They're busy people.
Yes, yes. They're coming out. We're going to give a donation for them helping us out to their charities that they're working on this year. And, you know, it's just great to partner with good people, and they're good help. So they're going to help us serve lunch. They're going to help Darren.
Right.
And so that way, hopefully, we can get people through there fairly quick. So,
how many people are you expecting?
You know, we've been registering between 350 to close to 400 actual members, and then you're going to have – they're typically going to have a spouse or a guest with them, sometimes a family of four. You know, we probably served 1,000 meals last year, and we're preparing for that same amount. Oh. The food deal is always tricky. You know,
those non-members?
Yeah. Well, not so much that. I mean, you know, we want it to be a community event, and so you can get on board with that. But at the end of the day, we want it to be a community event, and we're going to serve a lot of food and make sure that most everybody is served. We want everybody to be served, but there is always a trick to that of do you get run out of food or do you run out of people first?
Right.
And so our hope is we've been, you know, we estimate it. We try to get close, and it's been working out pretty good. So.
Well, plus you got, I didn't see your list, but I remember seeing it a couple of days ago, Sarah Chamber of Commerce is going to have vendors over there.
Right. Sarah Chamber is going to have a little vendor set up. We're going to move them closer to the action, if you will. We've been setting them up in the trees and the shade farther away from us, kind of towards the golf course. And they're wanting to move up closer to the action. So we're actually going to get them up kind of straight east of the pavilion. They're going to be somewhat in the sun. But I assume several of them will bring tents that they can be in the shade a little bit. But yeah, we're gonna move them up a little bit.
Well, that's
bit,
pretty good so. For the chamber to do that.
Yes.
Because North Fork, you guys, you support all your communities that you serve, but you know, home base is right there in Sarah.
That's right.
And you always see the North Fork trucks around.
Yeah, you bet. You know, I've said it for a long time. I'm gonna say it as long as I'm a part of North Fork. We're not just the power company. We're the co-op. And
right.
And when you supply power. The only reason we supply power to the rural areas of this area is because our owners, our members, the people that get our power wanted that power in that spot.
Right.
And we came together in the 30s and created a co-op so that we could have reliable, affordable power. And so, I, you know, my passion is that we always can provide that going forward for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And, it, you know, it's getting tougher. And as we go into new generations, the younger generation doesn't completely understand what the co-op is.
We talked about this early. I'm glad
right.
you brought that up.
That's right. They look at us that we're just the power company, and we're
right.
not just the power company. We're the co-op, and the reason you have power available where you are is because you're a member of that co-op, and so you need to get involved. If you're not involved, if you live on our lines and you're not involved, you need to get involved. You need to pay attention. There's a lot of changes in this industry, and none of them are making things any easier. And so we've got challenges in front of us. We've got great employees. We've got a great set of trustees that represent all of our districts that understand these challenges. And it's an exciting time. Right this minute, our power is a little cheaper than the investor-owned power in this area, and that's something that we can hang our hat on, and that it hasn't always been that way. It won't always be that way, but right this minute it is. And so,
why is that?
You know, I think it all goes back to Storm Uri. Storm Uri was February of 2021 when we had some rolling blackouts and we had natural gas prices, go in over the $1,000.
It's still in the news.
It's still in the news, and so how each utility handled that is different, and so I think the investor-owned utilities handled that as they wanted to make some profit on that, and as the co-op we handled that as we took exactly what it cost us and we divided it fairly by our rate classes. And so like on residential, it's costing $5 a month for 60 months. It's real simple and easy, and so it's $300 per residential meter for that storm. And so it's not very much money. And so the numbers that you've seen, you know, that some of the investor-owned, and I don't want to say their names, but some of the investor-owned, they're taking a lot of grief for some of the dollar amounts that they've tacked onto that. And so those have been a lot bigger numbers per consumer than what ours is. And so you know, I think a storm like that, you probably had an advantage living on a co-op line. It probably was significantly cheaper. And so right now, our cost of power is somewhat cheaper. And that's a good thing.
Oh, always a good thing.
Yep.
Well, there's a couple more things. So this is actually a meeting Saturday.
That's
also,
right.
It's not just come win a TV and a
that's
tractor
right.
and
that's
get
right.
and get some get a lunch. But what all do you guys discuss at the meeting?
So I mentioned our trustees. So right. we have seven trustees that sit on our board. They all represent one of our districts. We have seven districts. And so this is where we reelect trustees. They serve a three-year term. And so because of seven, we have an odd year where instead of 2, 2, and 2, we have 2, 2, and 3. And so this is the year of three. And I think I misspoke this morning on the early morning show and said it was two. It's actually the year of three. And so three of our trustees are being reelected at our meeting. And so we'll get that done. That's always something that gets done every year. And then we don't have a bylaw change, we probably are going to have a bylaw change next year, more than likely. And so our bylaws were written back in the 30s, if you will. And there's been some very minor changes in the bylaws over the years. And so we kind of need to update our bylaws and get them into this century,
right?
Because there was not cell phones back then. There's a lot of technologies now that can be utilized on how we do business and how we conduct business that aren't talked about in our bylaws. And so we need to update our bylaws. And so that's something that we've been working on for probably close to 2 years now and just haven't got them perfect yet. So we're not ready to take them to a vote, but we're getting really close. And so I expect next year we'll actually have a bylaw update to vote on, and so that'll get done by the members at the annual meeting. Right. So anything of how you change business, it's going to have to be voted on by the membership, and that's something that you would handle at the annual meeting. So,
well, I know your technology with outages where storm related or whatever has really come a long ways in the last few years. I mean, it's nothing to report. You don't have to sit there and wait on a busy signal at
that's right.
I mean, you can report it on Facebook, even on that app.
Smart Hub. We have a Smart Hub app that you can report your outages on. You know, and I hate to say that we know you're out before you're out, because there's times that we don't. But most of the time, we know you're out before you're out. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in making sure people are on. I don't want to be in our communities and be hearing about how bad the power is or any of that. And so we take a lot of pride in making sure that people get back on. This spring and summer, you know, I'm preparing for my talk Saturday. We've had, as of this last weekend, we've had 6 Friday evenings since June 1st where we've had significant storm and broken poles and down power lines.
Right.
6 since June 1st. And we're passing the $500,000 mark as far as repairs. I mean, so you're equaling this into like an 8-day ice storm at this point. And these storms have just been weird of the straight line winds and the destruction. But we haven't gone, with those coming in on Fridays like that, we haven't gone into a Sunday or a Monday with people without power. I mean, we've got them on within a 24-hour period and replaced. We've probably replaced close to 100 poles at this point this summer.
And these are telephone poles or electrical poles?
These are electric poles. Yeah.
Sorry, I know Bobby's listening.
That's a bad word around our place.
I know, but they, I get screamed at by Bobby all the time. So now it just makes me want to say it.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of people that still refer to them as telephone poles.
It's just a habit.
That's right.
But you can, like on Facebook, I noticed in that outage last Friday on Facebook, you could get on your Facebook page and it would show you where your outages was.
That's right. You can go to our website, go to our Facebook page, and we try to keep that updated, especially when we have significant outages. I mean, if we have more than, if we have 200 or 300 or 400 meters off or plus, then we're always going to communicate on Facebook what's going on. We're going to We're going to give you the reason why you're out of power and try to give you the best ETA, estimated time of restoration, the best we can. We're going to try to give you an idea of when we think you might be.
You're just being honest with the customers.
I'm very transparent.
Yeah, and, I know you are.
You know, when I sit at home and my power goes out, guess what? I want to know why. And I want to know maybe when it might come back on.
It doesn't matter if that F5 tornado just went through. You want to know what's up.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and I'll say this Saturday, and I'd like to say it now. I go out in the field. I go out to I've met with two members just in the last week at their homes. There's a lot of challenges coming on, and there's a lot of confusion about some things that are going on in this industry. And I'm more than welcome to visit with our members anytime they want to visit. They're welcome to come to office. I'll go to their homes and visit with them. And I don't claim to know all the answers, but I am very passionate to make sure that I try to guide us in the right direction as a co-op.
Yeah. So what do you got to say to all the people out there right now that are members, whether it's the North Fork Co-op or Northwestern or Harmon or Caddo? Got anything you want to tell them?
Well, I think just as an overall industry, and most everybody knows this, it's easy to see, is the U.S. energy policy, we're going green.
Right.
And right now, we've been what I call, we have a lot of dispatchable energy. And dispatchable means you flip the switch and it's on. You turn on a coal plant, it's on 100%. You know it's there. It's going to run until you turn it off.
Right.
You turn on natural gas generators, you've got power until you turn them off. These wind generators and Western farmers that we get our power from, we have coal, we have natural gas, we have wind, we have solar, and we have hydro. Well, your wind and your solar and your hydro are all weather related.
Right.
And there's no switch. I mean, there's no switch to turn on and turn off. If the weather's right, it's there. And when the weather's not right, it's not there. And we're not replacing, you know, there's a big push for coal to go away. And there's not, and coal is dispatchable. Turn the switch on, turn it off. We're not replacing that with something that you turn the switch on, turn it off. We're replacing it with wind and with solar. And that's a little scary. And I would say this, I'm not a doomsday guy. I don't think, there's a lot of that going on, but I don't think that they're going to pull the plug on the coal as fast as they say they are. Right. They're not going to leave us in the dark, in my opinion. And there's a lot of good technologies coming. There's great technology with natural gas already, and I think it's here for the long run. Even though there's a lot of people that don't think it is, I think it is, and I think we'll have nuclear at some point on small scale,
right?
Not on big scale.
Yeah,
on small scale.
Oh yeah, we Butch and I talked here a couple months ago about these small nuclear reactors that they got that are easy to set up for. You know, you don't have to go through a 20-year permit and this
That's
and
right.
that. So I think technology's changing.
Yep.
Some you like, some you don't.
Yep.
But you know what? We're going to have to deal with it all.
As far as for our North Fork members, I try to tell them, and my advice is the most reliable, affordable power that you can buy anywhere, even in today's technology, and I think it's going to be like this for a lot of years to come, is coming down your North Fork power lines.
Right.
And it's diversified. It's green because we're buying wind energy. We're buying solar energy. We're using natural gas, and it's going to be the most affordable and the most reliable power that you can buy where you're located.
Now
without a doubt.
Now we just got to educate our younger generations on what a co-op really is.
That's right. That's right. And this is a good, you know, our membership meeting's a good spot to get started.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good time. There's activities for their kiddos to come. The pool's open. Miniature golf's open. It's all free. So come enjoy it. We're having an ice cream truck at about 11:30. So, I mean, we'll feed your kids some ice cream.
And,
you're going to get a free cap, a free paring knife. I mean, it's going to be a good time, and this is a good spot to get involved.
All right. Mr. Brent Matter, I call him the head cheese in North Fork, but he is the general manager at the North Fork Electric Co-op, and appreciate you coming in and talking about the upcoming meeting and other subjects we just discovered.
You bet.
Thank you a lot.
You bet. Come
and I
us.
Already miss your daughter.
she's doing good. I haven't heard a lot from her, so I think she's
done.
She's settled in, and she's glad to be away from the farm for a minute.
Well, I got to call and talk some softball with her here in the next few days.
Yeah, see what happens. She's enjoying it.
All right. Thanks, Brent.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You're already glad they keep your lights and your air conditioners powered up, but this Saturday you're going to be extra glad you're a North Fork Electric Co-op member. That's because you're invited to a party. It's technically the 84th annual members meeting, but it'll look and sound and feel and taste like a party. It's this Saturday at the Sayre City Park. Drive-through registration begins at 9 a.m. at the RV park entrance. You don't even have to get out of your car. This year's grand prize is a 2023 John Deere Z545R mower, sponsored in part by Western Equipment. Runner-up prizes include $1,000 cash from R&R Powerline, two Makita self-propelled electric mowers, and a 70-inch TV. Bring the family for live music, free barbecue, free swimming, free miniature golf, and lots of door prizes. And you can enjoy the Sayre Chamber of Commerce Vendor Fair. For details, like and follow North Fork Electric on Facebook and Instagram. It's a meeting that's really a party. The 84th Annual North Fork Electric Co-op Members Meeting, this Saturday at the Sayre City Park.
Whenever we work with families, they almost end up becoming family because we're talking about such personal issues. This young man had come in and his mother had passed away. And she had been a foster mother all her life, and he wanted something special. He had seen a bronze that we had that was a circle with leaves around it and little birds in there. And he said just reminded him of his mother so much because she took care of everyone. The little bird and had the little baby birds in it and everything. Linda designed this vertical monument and placed this bronze piece on the monument and set it in the cemetery. And it was after Mother's Day the next year he called and he was so excited. Bluebird had made a nest in the bronze. Now Mother's Day, the eggs hatched and had baby birds in the monument that he had made for his mother, who had been a foster mom. It was very emotional for us and him because it represented everything he wanted. Willis Granite Products is the name of our company. We're contacted through our website, willisgranite.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
A good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 14th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,430 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 529 brought 296. 6 at 550 brought 299. 7 at 561 brought 278. 3 at 655 brought 255. 10 at 760 brought 249.50. 19 at 976 brought 235.25. 10 at 989 brought 233. 20 head of heifers at 409 brought 302. 3 at 538 brought 253. 10 at 591 brought 244. 7 at 621 brought 249, 15 at 676 brought 236, 3 at 802 brought 224, 12 at 831 brought 223.50. Butcher cows were 50 to 127, butcher bulls brought 110 to 132, bred cows were 1350 to 1600, pairs brought 1675 to 2375. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. And I guess I'm not going to do Tipton, Oklahoma because the mezzanine's down. Bear with me here a second. I'm going to change. I'm going to go up to Eric. The reason why is I know somebody's up there hauling hay right now on a little orange tractor with a big old trailer behind them. Let's see here. That's as close to hex as I can get. That's the reason why I said that. I don't know, the whole mezzanine. There we go. We're good to go. Currently right now at Eric, it's 95 degrees. Feels like 97. Dew point 63. Humidity's 34. Winds are out of the northeast at 8 miles an hour. Sunset 8:27. Under a heat advisory till 9 o'clock tonight. Today, hot 104. 104 tomorrow. 106 Saturday. 104 Sunday. And 102 Monday. Sorry, that's all I got on the weather forecast. And I can tell you the evenings are going to be Tonight's going to be the coolest evening for the next 5 evenings, and it's going to be 68 degrees. It was pretty nice out there this morning. I have a peanut report. I got a new computer in here, people, so bear with me in here. Let me see if I can get this to play. The USDA released their August crop production estimates, and Tyrone Spearman's got an update on the peanuts. Well, guess what? Let me try one other deal. Bear with me here a second. Let me see if I can get that to play. Ain't gonna get her to play. Sorry about that. Anyway, they released their production estimates. I don't have them right here in front of me. As soon as I figure this deal out with the Tyrone and my computer, my fault, I'll get back with you on that. The drought is now throttling traffic at the Panama Canal, believe it or not. A threat to 40% of all U.S. container shipments are in trouble. It is now impacted by the drought, with ships starting to back up, but the canal restricts the amount of traffic it can handle. The organization responsible for managing the canal has decided to restrict both the number of ships passing through each day, as well as the amount of cargo they can carry. Officials say they're taking this action due to the decrease in water supply caused by the ongoing drought due to El Nino conditions. The waterway in Panama connects the Atlantic Ocean with the Pacific Ocean and divides North and South America. The reduction means fewer than 34 ships can move through the canal in both directions daily, compared to 34 to 42 it can handle at peak capacity. This follows a decision in June to reduce the maximum draft from the new Panamax vessels by 6 foot, now at 44 feet. With the new restrictions in place until Monday next week, August 21st, it could force companies to find alternate routes. However, the Journal of Commerce, it hasn't forced many shippers to change plans yet, because you know what their alternative is? Go around South America, and a lot of ships don't like to do that, especially with fuel costs today. The U.S. is by far the largest user of the Panama Canal, accounting for 73% of the commodity export and import container traffic. The latest restrictions comes as the drought has reduced the level of Ganton Lake, which provides the fresh water for the canal's locks, to about 79 feet, compared with a 5-year average of 85 feet. So 6 feet makes a lot of difference. You know, I'm going to say this out loud. I shouldn't, but I'm probably going to. The U.S. giving up the control of the Panama Canal, it was about like Oklahoma City letting the NFR get away from it and going to Vegas. I never have understood either one of them. I know Vegas is a favorite spot for everybody to go to that deal, but giving up the control of the canal that we built, I don't know. I'm not very fond of that. So anyway, we'll move on. JBS released its second quarter 23 financial results, revealing a net loss of $53 million in the second quarter, down sharply from a net profit of $803 million a year ago. They should still have money in the bank. $53 million loss, and they made $803 last year. The decline was the result of an oversupply of poultry and tighter beef margins in the U.S., as well as an overall challenging global protein complex, according to the JBS CEO. Despite the challenging quarter, he said the company remains confident the margins are recovering. And in this second quarter, we doubled our margin over the first quarter. Looking ahead, we see a scenario of more balance in the poultry supply and with potential positive impact on sector prices. Still, challenges for the U.S. beef business will persist for the coming months due to tighter cattle supplies. Anyway, there we go. They lost some money. Actually, in the second quarter, the revenue for JBS Beef North America was $5.8 billion, an increase of 5% compared to the same quarter last year. So they ain't hurting too bad, I don't think. Anyway, it's a good thing we got good beef prices out there at the sale barns and selling if you go into the feedlots. We have really good prices right now. So, guys, let's enjoy the prices while we got them. Anyway, you guys, hope you have a great day. Tomorrow, I'm talking with three different veterinarians from K-State University. We're talking about BVD. We're talking about fly control. We're talking beef consumption. And next week, there's somebody on the show every day. So we got a busy time here on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.